Hi, I'm Femi OK. Today on the stream, Iran's nuclear deal, can it be salvaged? Here is Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi speaking about America in Tehran on July the 13th.
Iran will not back down from its rightful and logical stance in talks to revive a 2015 nuclear pact. You experienced that it is not possible to speak with Iran by tough language. How many times do you want to experience that Iran does not succumb to force?
And now, here's US President Joe Biden speaking about Iran from Jerusalem one day later on July the 14th.
With regard to Iran and convincing the Saudis and others that we mean what we say, is we mean what we say. They have an opportunity to accept this agreement's been laid down. If they don't, we made it absolutely clear. We will not, let me say it again, we will not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Who is going to compromise? Weigh in and join our discussion. Our YouTube comment section is now live, waiting for your comments and questions. Let's meet your panel. Hello, Nagar, Hillary, Sayed. Welcome back to the stream to all three of you. Nice to see you again. Nagar, remind our audience who you are and what you do.
I'm Nagar Mortazavi. I'm an Iranian-American journalist and political analyst based here in Washington, D.C. I also host the Iran podcast.
Good to have you. Hillary, so great to have you back on the stream. Please introduce yourself to our audience around the world.
I'm Hillary Mann Leffert. At this point, I'm CEO of a political consultancy, Stratega, Strategic Energy and Global Analysis. I spent many years in the U.S. government at the National Security Council and the State Department, and I co-wrote a book, Going to Tehran, Why the United States Must Accept the Islamic Republic of Iran.
So good to have you, Hillary, and welcome back, Sayed, to the stream. Great to have your analysis on the stream. Please remind our audience who you are and what you do.
Hello, my name is Sayed Mostafa Khoshesh. I'm an Iranian foreign policy analyst. I also teach at university, and I'm also an editor-in-chief of an Iranian news agency, although I'm here to represent my own views in my personal capacity. And very well and happy to be with you in this show.
All right, guests, great to have you. Let me just remind our audience how we got to the Iran nuclear deal in 2015 and where we are now. So let's rewind with a little recap here. 2015, that was when the Iran nuclear deal was signed. 3 years later, President Trump pulled out of the deal, brought back sanctions against Iran. And right now, bringing us up to 2022, Iran has enough uranium to make its own nuclear bomb. And what has happened to this Iran nuclear deal? That is our show. That is our discussion today. Nagar, you start us off. Where is the deal? Is there a deal to talk about?
Well, Femi, I see the deal as still alive, but on life support, sort of in a coma. And this has happened, talking about how we got here to this coma situation. It sort of happened when President Trump obviously unilaterally pulled the U.S. out of the deal. This is while United Nations watchdog had been approving report after report that Iran was abiding by the deal. So in essence, President Trump pulled out of it not because of the reason of Iran not abiding by the deal, but because he just simply didn't like that it was his predecessor, President Obama's deal. Then after, fast forward to when Joe Biden came into power, candidate Biden had promised that he had criticized President Trump for pulling out of the deal, rightfully, and he had promised to bring the U.S. back into the JCPOA. Great promise. But I think it's one of those promises that is long overdue. It's now, what, a year and a half into his administration, and it's essentially a promise that's not fulfilled. And the more we move forward, I think, it will be more difficult for him to do something like that because of the political backlash he's going to receive here in Washington, D.C. So I think it's one of those things that time is ticking and the Biden administration and the Iranian side should try to sort of meet halfway for.
You know, Nagar brings up a really important point that President Biden said during the campaign that he would rejoin the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, as he made other promises, for example, for the United States to sign back up to the Paris Climate Treaty, for the United States to revoke what was called the Muslim travel ban, all sorts of other immigration issues with which President Biden vehemently disagreed with the Trump administration. And all of those other issues, Paris climate, the Muslim travel ban, immigration, all of those other promises, President Biden made good on them basically on day one, except the Iran nuclear deal. There, he said it had to be a negotiation. He wouldn't just revoke President Trump's policies. And it's this negotiation that we've been involved in now ever since, and I'm afraid could take us to what I'm also afraid will be the next Republican administration that will similarly rip up the deal as these Republican candidates promise.
Sayed, I really want to get some grassroots input from you because you are in Tehran, Iran right now. I keep hearing analogies of this Iran nuclear deal as being in a coma. This is what Trita Parsi told us a few hours ago. But from Tehran, what would be the analogy that you would use? He's Trita. And then please respond immediately afterwards with your take.
The Iran nuclear deal is not dead, but it is definitely in a coma. But even if it is revived, which would be a very good thing, we have to recognize that it's not the same deal as it was in 2015. In 2015, it marked a shift in the trajectory of U.S.-Iran relations. It created an opening for greater regional diplomacy and reduction of tensions. Today, if the deal is revived, neither side believes it will last longer than 2 years. Neither side has confidence in the intentions of the other. And as a result, they will use the next 2 years to prepare themselves for what they see is almost the inevitable confrontation that will happen in 2025 when there's a new president in the White House.
Well, let me first add some points to what Hillary said. I believe the problem with the Biden administration is that when it comes to Iran, he insists on following President Obama's containment strategy. And that means containing Iran's overall power. When you want to do so, you do multiple agreements. A JCPOA on Iran's nuclear power would be the first, but it would not be the last. They want to do the same with Iran's missile technology, original power. So they need to keep the sanctions structure intact or almost intact in place. So that's why President Biden doesn't want to give in, to the Iranian demands for removing sanctions on hundreds of Iranian companies, individuals, firms, and entities. And all throughout the talks in the past 9 months, as I'm privy to the talks, and I know it pretty well, whenever there was a stalemate in the talks, Iranians brought up some kind of initiative. But the Americans have never done that. The last kind of initiative that Iran brought up was almost seven weeks ago when Iranians said, okay, we would delay the IRGC problem that we have been requesting to remove IRGC from the FTO list. But we would delay that request. Let's deal with two other major problems. But the Americans shunned, and they stepped back and they said, Biden said he would the window for opportunity for giving any more concessions has been shut down, and there won't be any kind of concessions for Iran. And done is done, and that's the problem. As long as they see and they look at this kind of deal as part of the containment strategy, the situation would not, change. And Iran and the U.S. and its European allies, they have had six agreements in the last 20 years. According to American officials, as well as European officials and experts, Iran has always been, compliant with its undertakings under all these deals over Iraq and Afghanistan and, Iran's nuclear program and the JCPOA being the last one. Okay. But Americans have always had one undertaking that has been removing the sanctions. They've never done that. That's the problem. Uh-huh. They're not looking for a conflict resolution.
Syed, if I could amplify your very important point about sanctions. Sanctions, once imposed by the United States, are almost impossible to remove, not legally, but politically. And I'll take you back to 1990. That's how old I am, because I clearly remember this. When Nelson Mandela was finally released in South Africa from prison, and there was an election, the first democratic election in South Africa, and he was elected president, and he wanted to come to the United States, he had to apply for a waiver because he was still on the terrorist list. Nelson Mandela was still on the terrorist list. So these sanctions are extremely hard to remove politically, even with an administration that wants to do so. And clearly, President Biden has stated he does not want to do so.
All right. Guess,
you know, when they removed from him, when he died, several years after he died, he removed the sanctions on him.
Yeah. All right, Guess, I have a very engaged audience who want to ask you a few things. I'm going to call this the speed round. OK, so I'm going to throw out one of their comments to you, and I want an instant reaction, because each of their questions could last an entire show. That is not going to happen. It's going to be the speed round. All right, Hillary, this is for you, from Naki. Will the deal ever be revived, considering the influence Israel has on the United States? In 30 seconds.
I'm not sure this deal will be revived, but some deal will be revived. The inevitability of U.S.-Iran negotiations is always there. It's been there since the advent of the Islamic Republic in 1979.
All right. Nigar, this one is from you, from Rational History. Thank you for being part of our program today. Iran agrees to the deal, and then what? The next U.S. president backs out. The U.S. has shown no effort to have a long-lasting, genuine deal. In 30 seconds, Nigar.
Unfortunately, I think after President Trump, we have to agree with that. And it's sort of the setup or the system here in the U.S. that no president can promise anything for eternity. But then at the same time, I want to go back to my original point in Hillary's. It's the stroke of a pen. It's a presidential and it's an executive order, which is the initial JCPOA by President Obama. It was the stroke of a pen by President Trump pulling out of it. And President Biden can go back into the JCPOA with a stroke of a pen. So he has he has had the presidential power for the past year and a half. He still can do it today or tomorrow. It's just a matter of paying that political capital.
All right. Sayed, this question is for you, from Walter Hughes. The naive might think it is possible to stop Iran from going nuclear. Realistically, if Iran has a reasonable GDP and an insatiable drive to become nuclear, they will. Delaying is the only possibility. In 30 seconds, your response, Sayed.
Iran has already mastered the nuclear technology. If it was really willing to go for a military nuclear drive, it would go. It would have done that way earlier. But they don't look at it this way. In addition to the fatwa that has been issued by Iran's supreme leader that has placed a very strong ban, religious ban, and if you are from Iran and you're a Shiite Muslim, you will understand what it means. In addition to that, Iranians believe that the era of nuclear bombs is gone. Now is the era of cyber attacks. And also there are bombs like mother of all bombs. And by the way, Iranians have such a thing. I mean, it's similar to the American mother of all bombs. Which has the same kind of effect. They don't need nuclear technology for military purposes. Mm-hmm. Iranians have invested much on scientific aspects of the nuclear technology, and they've been open to all international Atomic Energy Organization surveillance and inspections before and after the deal. Iran has been under the largest number of man hours of inspections by the IAEA.
Okay.
And they've never found anything, as Nigar said.
All right, let me just move on a little bit, because the way that President Biden and President Raisi were talking, it sounded as if there was no place for compromise. If there's a potential for there to be conflict, if they're both hardliners, what then happens? Earlier, we spoke to researcher Asal, and this is what she told us. And then, Guess, I'm going to come back to you for what are the sticking points for at least some kind of deal to be reinstated. Here's Asal, first of all.
The potential for catastrophe if the U.S. and Iran escalate into military confrontation cannot be overstated. The last 20 years have shown us the futility of U.S. militarism in the region, most prominently in Afghanistan, where after 20 years, the Taliban swiftly took over after the U.S. withdrawal. The case of Iran is a country that has a population larger than that of Iraq and Afghanistan combined, and with a more powerful position in the region than either of those countries had at the time of U.S. invasions. The U.S. is also a different country than it was 20 years ago, with growing economic and domestic pressure. There's even less of an appetite in the American public for forever wars or wars in the region.
So I guess our original question was, can this Iran nuclear deal be salvaged? What would it take? Nigar, can you get us started, please?
Yeah, so I've sort of been critical of the Biden administration. I want to also voice my criticism of the Iranian side. Obviously, there is a conservative slash hardline administration in power right now. President Raisi comes from the conservative camp, and the Iranians, first of all, have refused to meet with the Americans directly. They have their own logic saying the U.S. is not part of the JCPOA, but I still think it would help if they met directly and sort of speed up at least the process or speak face-to-face with the U.S. negotiator, Rob Malley, and it would hopefully help diplomacy. I think both sides need to compromise and meet, maybe not exactly halfway, but try to come up with solutions that can, materialize an actual agreement and avoid a potential conflict. I agree with Asa, maybe not a full-on war. Definitely, I don't think President Biden wants a full-on war with Iran, but conflict is not necessarily something you plan. You can stumble into conflict, and when tensions are high and in the absence of diplomacy and agreements, that's conflict is something that's inevitable. And finally, I want to add this issue that Iran and the U.S. have a long list of grievances and demands from each other. If you want to make a big soup and throw all of these things into one agreement or one set of negotiations, it's not going to work. And that's something the Obama administration understood. And that's why they focused on the nuclear issue as the first and most important thing. And I saw that as a gateway into better and more diplomacy on other issues with Iran. I think that's something the Biden administration has to try to do and focus on and not bring in other issues into the nuclear negotiations.
Hillary, I want your take on what it will take. Would you mind if I go via Ali Abumiwe? Because I'm really struck, and Ali was struck really, by the tone of the two countries' leaders, the US and Iran, and how they're talking about each other publicly. This is what Ali told us earlier, and then your thoughts.
I just don't think it makes sense that countries like Israel and the United States can continue to threaten Iran, and Iran is expected to just sit on its hands. Do I want to see Iran with nuclear weapons? No, I don't want to see Iran or any country with nuclear weapons. I think they should be abolished. But as long as powerful countries can threaten other countries with impunity, then there is a logic that those countries are going to see the sense in nuclear weapons.
Hillary, I'm just thinking, change of tone, is that needed? Or is that just for public display? That hardliner attitude, is that for public display, but behind the scenes, there's a better conversation going on?
Well, that's been my experience, frankly. When I was in the Bush administration, George W. Bush at the time designated Iran as a charter member of the Axis of Evil. His rhetoric against Iran was visceral and was incredibly bellicose. But at the same time, I worked in the White House, and he said to me, if there's anything that we can talk to the Iranians about, you find it and you talk to them about it. And we did. We talked about Afghanistan. We talked about counter-narcotics. We talked about Al-Qaeda. There were a range of issues that we actually have in common. So while there are these list of grievances, there are also a lot of issues we have in common. The United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran are never going to be allies, but we don't need to be allies. We can work on issues where we have shared interests, and we can work through dialogue to try to at least bracket or contain the issues that we disagree with.
Sayed, I'm going to show our audience a graph of how Iran's GDP has fared from 2014 up until 2022. So we're going to put this on screen for our audience. We're going to leave it up there for a little while because I also need to work out what is going on here. So 2014, if you see the orange, the bright orange, that's when the GDP was going up, the economy was doing well. 2015, the economy plummeted, did far less well. When the nuclear deal was signed and sanctions were lifted, look what happened in 2016. It was really great for the economy. And then following President Trump withdrawing from the nuclear deal, reinstating sanctions, 2018, 2019, incredibly bad for the economy. Now, remembering we still have sanctions in place, but 2022, the economy in Iran is growing, and that is due to the impact of China and Russia working closely with Iran. Sayed, this idea of sanctions being punitive and making Iran change its mind about how it's going to approach the US, is that over now because of Russia and China?
If you had it on screen, I could talk about it for 1 hour, what happened since 2014.
I'm not going to put it on the screen then, Sayed. I'm scared of you.
There's a major difference. Look at the numbers between the years 2015 and 2016. When the deal was arrived at, then suddenly Iran started crude exports. So Iran had over 8% growth rate. But the next year, it dropped to 2%, as you can see, because the U.S. started defying its undertakings. And when Donald Trump took office and exited the deal, they started this sanctions program. The sanctions produced their impact for a maximum of 1.5 years, according to many American experts. And we have experienced that as well. Somewhere around 1.5 years to 2 years would be the climax of the impact of the sanctions. Then it falls down. Now, as soon as President Raisi took office, he started a wide regional program in order to increase foreign trade. And guess what? In the first 1 year, he has improved Iran's foreign trade by over 20% without a nuclear deal. Iran is already exporting over 1 million barrels of crude per day. Sometimes it's up to 1.5 million barrels per day. And they plan to increase it. And we could say that considering the Ukraine war is ravaging and as the pre-cold season purchases start, prices would start rising, in the energy market, and Iran's crude supplies would be demanded more than before. So Iranians do not see really, much interest in expanding the ties, in reviving the deal, if what they have requested would not be given to them. That's removal of hundreds of Iranian companies from the red list of sanctions, as well as economic guarantees requested by Asian and European companies. But expanding ties with the Russians and the Chinese, well, of course, it's been a major help, but that's not all of it. Iran has been expanding trade with its, neighbors. Tonight, Iran and Turkey signed a long-term foreign trade cooperation pact. So this is happening with regard to Qatar, with other countries as well.
All right.
So can I add a quick point?
We have 1 minute left. So, Nigar, I'm going to ask you, if you can help me with looking here at what we promised we would do for our audience. So have a look here on my laptop, and you're all going to have a sentence to answer this. But I know you can handle it. Is the Iran nuclear deal dead? Nigar, in a sentence.
No, it's not dead, but it needs serious resurrection to come out of a coma.
Hillary.
Well, the nuclear crisis, so-called crisis, in my view, was a manufactured crisis to begin with. So while this chapter in Iran-US negotiations or deal-making may be over, there's more to
yes
come.
Or
there
no,
are always
going
to be interests that we have together.
All right.
This chapter may be dead, but we're going forward anyway.
All right. Say it. One sentence. Is the Iran nuclear deal dead from Tehran? Iran, you say what?
No, but I believe we need to wait for about 4 to 6 weeks to see a last-ditch effort by either side. I still see a 50-50 chance, and I still believe and have high hopes that Biden would find the right way and would
Hillary do the strike. Okay. And Nigar, and you viewers on YouTube, thank you for your analysis. I'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.